Thank you for meeting us at the intersection, where the worlds of energy and technology come together.
Thank you for meeting us at the intersection. For those of you listening for the first time, welcome. And for returning listeners, welcome back. I am UTC President and CEO Cheryl Riggs. And today I am joined by just a legacy I can't say enough. This individual has many talents, skills, values added to UTC, the industry, but his job title, Mr. Ron Beck, is the Senior Network Engineer at Central Lincoln People's Utility District in Newport, Oregon. Ron has been a part of UTC for quite some time. He served as the chair of the board from 2011 to 2012. He has actively participated in various meetings and committees. He's definitely won several UTC awards. He has both the 2020 Connie Dursack Visionary Award and the 2014 Dondonville Award and numerous chairman awards under his belt. Ron has decades of industry experience and knowledge that I can't wait for him to share with you all today. For like we said, if you haven't heard the intersection before, I guarantee you, you will come away from this lesson saying, I need to listen to Ron's stories and what he has to say again. It's going to impact you in a very positive way. And if you have listened before, the same thing. So Ron, thank you for joining us. I just want to say, is there anything else you want to say about yourself?
Oh, no, thank you so much. And appreciate the opportunity, Cheryl. When you first talked about a podcast, I thought, that's a great idea. I've done this format before, and I really love it. And then when I heard that, you know, Paul and Greg, two people I've worked very closely with, and I really like to listen to, did your previous versions of this, I was excited to join in that distinguished group. So thank you for the opportunity today.
Well, you are more than welcome, and you're part of that distinguished group as well. I just want to add, in addition to one of the things, Ron has definitely helped UTC navigate through the pandemic waters. And when I say that, I mean, as trying to get an association that thrives on advocating and educating and networking events, it was critical. So his experience and leadership and guidance, he was definitely at the helm with Greg Angst at the time, who's the chair, and Paul Lambert. So he did that for 2 years as well. So we're glad to have you back. But let's get to the discussion. This year, I believe you'll be celebrating 30 years at Central Lincoln PUD. What has been the highlight of your career in that time?
Wow, it's right off the bat with the big questions. yes, 30 years. It's amazing to think about, because you just never think about where the end is. And I'm finally at that point where you go, wow, 30 years, when or how will it end? When you start, you know, you're just excited to have that new job and the new challenges. And that's exactly what we moved here to Oregon for, brought my family up here in 1992 and just hit the ground running with a couple of folks that were just visionaries. They proposed in the interview to build a system that, you know, what they were talking about at the time, I just had to nod my head and shake, because they were talking about a system that I knew very little about what they were talking about. They were talking about synchronous optical networking and an asynchronous transfer mode, switching core over a hybrid digital microwave fiber optic backbone. This is 1992. These guys are certifiably insane. You had to go on a CompuServe back then to basically figure out what asynchronous transfer mode was, because ATM obviously was a cash machine to everybody at the time. So I moved up here and we took on a project that built a telecommunications network for Central Lincoln PUD. We're on the coast of Oregon, beautiful territory, very rural, very remote. We cover portions of four counties, basically the middle third of the Oregon coast. So we built this system that connects our electric substations. There's 32 of them. And the system itself enabled us to add features to the substations that are pretty commonplace today. But in the 94-95 timeframe, we're pretty forward-looking. The interesting part was that at the time, and you've probably heard me say this a couple of times, the only thing that connects our communities on the coast is U.S. Highway 101 and our electric power grid. So building fiber optic cable between our substations actually had this side effect of connecting communities with the fiber optic cable. Now, Oregon prohibits people's utility districts from being telecommunications carriers. We came up with some creative ways to connect our community. So that was a highlight. In 2009, the federal government put out the Recovery Act, the Smart Grid Investment Grants, and we were one of the 99 utilities to get money under that program. And I would have to say that was the Smart Grid Investment Grant that was really that highlight, because we had spent 15 years building a network that was in place and ready to go when the time came for the utility to recognize what was possible with a telecommunications network. We put in wireless smart meters. We increased the distribution automation presence that we have. We overhauled the SCADA system that we have. We put in an outage management system that has predictive analytics into it. But by having all of these pieces in one place, we were able to realize just exactly what could happen. And with that, we've overhauled the way this utility communicates with its customers. We just went through a storm about 3 weeks ago, right at the beginning of the year, had about a third of our customers off at any given point. Wow. And you know, our outage maps were telling us where customers were at as fast as they knew they were out. On my phone, I can see the same thing that our operations people are seeing, provided that the cellular network is up. And that is one of the issues you have to worry about in rural Oregon. But I would say over the 30 years, it's just that transformation that this utility took from being really hardworking people to very hardworking, efficient people in the customer service realm, in the delivery of electricity. It's just been fantastic what we've been able to do.
Well, that definitely sounds fantastic. I mean, you touched on so much when you talk about connecting communities. I mean, now, of course, we're all saying closing the digital divide, but you've seen, like you just said, and I'm sure many others in the utility industry, which is another reason why this industry is such an exciting place to be, both when you started 30 years ago and now. So I definitely appreciate it, because I could see the connection that it is for the long term. It's very forward thinking. And also, I love the way you connected it to the community, because often that story doesn't get told. So I really appreciate that. That is definitely a highlight. You kind of talked the next question I wanted to ask. Yes, sir.
As you know, I served on the county school board here for some 20 years.
Yes.
And with that, you know, being able to connect the schools in our communities using our fiber optic network. Now, granted, it's two different hats. I wasn't leveraging one against the other, but just knowing it was there, I think, provided opportunities that that may not have been there until other programs came about. But yeah, it's been a rewarding 30 years, and I've still got a few more years in the hopper. The system that we built all those years ago, I am in the fourth year of a four-year project to rebuild them. We are totally overhauling the substation communication system. We're just wrapping that piece up. And now the digital microwave that we built in 1995 is being replaced with a new digital packet-based microwave. And it's really fun to see that come together. It's relieving to see the older equipment survive that long and be able to be shepherded out the door in good shape. And it's fun to work with the new generations of engineers and technicians to get them to understand the importance of to the utility of the equipment, not just to the data flow side of it, the human side of it. It's been great.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like what you've just explained, is it seems to be just as exciting 30 years ago as now. And once again, like you said, the human side and not just the engineers and people in the industry, but even consumers. I mean, when you said the power outages and the consumers can get the information just as quickly as your operations team, that is amazing. So, I mean, you've really just in that little one question, you really have said a lot about the industry. But I'm going to ask, because you touched on this, about some of the profound changes that you witnessed in the industry in the past 20 years. What profound changes have you witnessed in UTC? Because I'm sure you've seen quite a bit. You already made mention of other chairs that you have worked with and got interacted with. So what else have you witnessed with UTC and your involvement with the association?
Well, you know, boy, I thought the first question was good. The second one was like, you're really getting me thinking here. Well, the first question talked about, you know, highlight of my career from the industry point of view. This will sound odd, but one of the most profound changes I've seen in the last 20 years in the industry, I think, is the prevalence of the cellular industry, how cellular has impacted not only our field people, but our customers. All businesses these days, everything is done on a mobile device. And I remember when we got Central Lincoln, we got our first cell phone, and that was really, you know, a serviceman, a troubleshooter, was out, you know, middle of the night, out trying to troubleshoot radio frequency interference for a lady that listened to AM radio in the evening. And, you know, he's out there, for the lack of a better description, prowling around, or at least that's what she probably told 911. And when you get those kind of things, you need a way to call and talk to a customer in the middle of the night. So he made the case, and that started cell phones. Now, that's moved today to where our entire outage management system, everything is being done on a mobile device via an application. We rely pretty much hand in glove on that and the private internal communications. I mean, we've got a number of members that have private LTE systems. They operate systems that coexist with the carriers, so that even when the carriers are off, their equipment continues to work in that vital role. That impact, I think, is something that none of us would have predicted unless you were a carrier. I think that was your end goal. Mm-hmm. But at UTC, specific to my involvement with UTC, I would really have to say the environment post September 11th, cybersecurity. I mean, when you think about what we were doing prior to September 11th, UTC's focus was reliability, keeping those systems up and running because the telecommunication system was needed to restore the electric system. The crew's eyes and ears, the two-way radio system, the voice dispatch systems needed to be up and running so we could communicate safely with the people in the field that were troubleshooting and restoring power outages, or gas outages, or pipeline failures, or whatever the case may be across the utility. And that had always been our focus. Suddenly, terrorism and acts of violence and the threat of cybersecurity, the digital Pearl Harbor, those type of descriptions find their ways onto the newspapers and the magazines and all of the thought. And UTC, myself included, in October of 2001, finds itself at the table with a lot of people who later became, I mean, this was Howard Kurtz, this was, you know, the Office of Homeland Security, the Office of Cybersecurity. This was, you know, pre-Department of Homeland Security. We're having these conversations about, you know, where is the risk, where are threats? And they recognized at the point that the communication system is that lifeblood. You know, not at the commercial level, but also they started digging in, and we, I think, opened their eyes to some other possibilities. And shortly thereafter, you know, NERC publishes Urgent Action 1200, I believe it was called, UA 1200, which was the start of the critical infrastructure protection rules. But I think UTC's role in that is clearly one of the most profound changes I've seen within UTC, how we as an organization pivoted, how IT-based folks in organizations became part of UTC. So much of what we do today is that cybersecurity, IT, OT integration piece that was never, in my opinion, part of the conversation prior to September 11th of 2001.
And that's a great point, Ron. And I know, I can't remember exactly what year we changed our name from Utilities Telecom to Utilities Technology, to your point. And often I say it repeatedly that what makes UTC unique to me is that we gather all types of utilities. And as I'm hearing you, you know, talk about cybersecurity, all of the issues, I mean, we talk about broadband, we talk about spectrum. I think UTC as an association, what I see now, and maybe you can elaborate, is that everybody's at the table coming up with solutions. And that has to be valuable, not just because of the issues, but because of the timing. So does that bring in, have any thoughts around that for your experience with UTC?
And it does, because UTC has always been able to be so agile, so flexible in the way we're organized, our framework. You know, at the top, we've always had the technical aspect and the public policy aspect of what we do, the business management side. But down below it, it's where we engage the members. At the membership division level, the regional division level. But within technical, it was after September 11th that we spun up at a board meeting in Washington, the IT subdivision, the IT committee. And I was the first chair of the IT committee. We put that together because I was probably the only person in the room that had any real IT background. Most people had IT folks working for them, but I was still kind of the keyboard. At a small utility, you wear a lot of hats. So I was probably still doing that. And that kind of led us to a reorganization where we got away from what at the time was called the wireline and wireless committees within. We were still doing a lot of, you know, telephone level copper cable work. That spun up the fiber optic subcommittee. Wow. And the wireless went a couple different ways. That went to an AMI group, and that went to a, you know, power line carrier group. And then as those discussions are really, our members are no longer really needing those discussions, we can shut them down and morph them into something else. You've seen that in the organization, the technical division, which I chaired for a number of years. That was a great time. It got to the point where telecommunications was really a better description, and we morphed everything over to telecom. And just recently, we are bringing technical back because it's a different venue for different people. So we're still facilitating a lot of conversations, and we're looking for, you know, home for every member. Where do you want to participate? Where are you comfortable? And that's what's really, you know, helped me over the years is, you know, your calendar can get pretty full with UTC meetings because there's a lot of conference calls going on. But, you know, pick and choose. Find the ones you like, and if there isn't one, just find somebody and bring it up, because, you know, our chairman have always been approachable. You bring an idea to our chairman, and our chairs, because they're in the industry, will recognize its value and how to put it together, how it fits within the UTC family of topics, and you know, how it will run its course. Is it a long-term discussion, or is it a working group we just need to put together and decide how to address 6 gigahertz interference potential? You know, it's those kind of things. But yeah, we've always been really agile, real flexible about how that conversation comes together. But we've never been so proud of a particular conversation that we're afraid to shut it down when it's run its course. We do a good job of that.
Yeah, and I mean, that is part of why we're so proud to be member-driven, because you're right. As an association, we have to be agile to hear what our members, because I love what you said about getting involved, which is kind of the next question I was going to ask, is what kind of advice you would give to current or future UTC members about engaging, because engagement is really key. Because as you said, yeah, there's a lot of meetings, but what is behind those meetings is a lot of action and activity that results in solutions that not just affect UTC or individuals, but affect communities throughout the nation, actually worldwide. So it's a really, engagement is very a critical piece of it. So, I mean, you've pretty much answered some of it, but is there anything else as far as advice you would give to current and really even future UTC members how to get the most out of this UTC experience, because it looks like from a lot, and I know we haven't touched on everything because I've had the pleasure and honor of having a lot of other conversations. I know you've gotten a lot out of this UTC experience, and many do. So what would you recommend? Anything else? I mean, you pretty much told people to get engaged.
So this will probably sound familiar to you, but my advice would be yourself. Be you. You know, your company hired you for a reason. Your technical skills, attitude, aptitude, how you fit within a team, in your workplace. And many of us move sometimes from team to team because we're a better fit somewhere else, or how it UTC is an extension of your workplace. Wow. UTC in many places is like working, in my case, working for a very small utility. It's like working with a large team of telecommunications people that while I see them once or twice a year, I can communicate with them on a call at any given time. So just be yourself. If you're that open, gregarious type of person, you're not alone at UTC. If you're that introvert kind of person, you're not alone. We've got a lot of members that fit across all of those personality spectrums, but there's a place for you. There's absolutely always a place within that discussion. So be yourself. And, you know, UTC's membership, they're just a welcoming group of people who want to make the most of their time. So make the most of your time. We're generally not competitive, despite deregulation and some of the other pieces. You know, we don't compete with our neighboring electric utilities. And I'm in the electric space, so please don't take that as a slight to other utilities. But so sharing systems, sharing information, sharing spare parts, sharing whatever it takes with our neighbors is not unheard of. So use UTC to be a better you. Just, be able to be a resource within your utility. Is if you don't have the answer at a meeting, know that with a couple of phone calls, you might be able to have several answers. And I think that has helped me over the years be a better resource to my company, and through that potentially be a resource to other members in their company.
That is well said. I'm gonna not, you know, when something is so pure and organic, I'm gonna try not to add to it. But I will say this, when Ron says be yourself, and I probably heard it before, I did. He gave me that advice, and not only gave it, he showed it, he lives it. And I think that advice is so valuable. I almost want to put it on some kind of merchandise. Ron has an extensive library of, as we call UTC, Chotskys, but we might have to add something that says be yourself. And maybe, you know, that's what the U is, be the best you, because we do have utilities of all types, and we have technology partners as members. This is an opportunity to learn and to see where your strengths are, where you can grow, what you would like to explore at UTC together. So I think that be yourself, that needs to be a whole nother podcast.
We may have just come up with a new messaging piece for Brittany and everybody to work on, because, you know, you can be the you in UTC, we'll have to play with that one.
We'll have to figure it out, but, you know, we'll give you a credit and maybe because I can definitely attest that he lives it and he shows you an example. So, and as you heard, I hope from some of the things that Ron has said over the 30 years, being himself, and there's so much more. So as I mentioned in the introduction, he is a past chair. He has extensive experience engaging in our in-person events as well as our committee. He's given us so much advice, whether you're in the industry or just thinking about the industry, or you're not sure where you want to be. This advice can be utilized throughout your life if you just listen to the wisdom that he shared with us on so many levels. And what another thing I hope everyone takes away is how the utility industry, it affects all of us. We're all stakeholders. And I really appreciate him, Ron, bringing that forward in his experience. And it seems like it's still exciting. I don't know lot of careers or people that after 30 years, they're just like, oh, I got more things to do. And they've already had a list that's almost just as long and extensive and excited about it. So something to be said for that. But as we know, you know, I always like to tell people, once you're in a UTC family, you're stuck with us for life. And he definitely, we're glad that he has a lot more to give. And we will hope to be a part of that ride and that journey with him, because as he makes that journey, we too will be making it with him and benefit. But Ron, I'm gonna ask you one last question. If you had to sum up your UTC journey in one word, if it's possible, what would that word be and why?
Well, you've known me too long to know that I'm not a single word kind of guy. But well, one word for my UTC journey would have to be Carnell. And I mean that in the most sincere way. So Carnell Thomas, our Vice President, Member Services, has been with me side by side since we both started in UTC. I mean, he was a frequency coordinator originally and worked, but at every committee I've ever worked on, it always seems like the staff liaison, the person I was working with, was Carnell. Whether it was regional or membership or when I was in technical division or one of the subcommittees there, Carnell was always there. And you know, that journey is also physical. When I was chair, Carnell and I and Connie traveled to Madrid, Spain for the 10th anniversary of the EUTC, and Carnell was there. Carnell and I and Connie traveled to, you know, Johannesburg, South Africa for what was the first of the African UTC, even before it was UTC in Africa. It was just a European conference being held in Johannesburg as we were looking at the value down there of the folks at ESCOM and what they could bring in that continent to this discussion, or what we could help them discuss as it related to what they were doing. And Carnell's been there at every turn of the way. So when you say journey, I have to think frequent flyer miles, and I have to thank Carnell. On a serious note, I would say, you know, unlimited would be the word. And what I mean by that is, you know, I alluded to the fact your calendar can fill up quickly if you acknowledge every UTC webinar and meeting and subcommittee meeting that is out there. And the more involved you get, the more opportunities your calendar has to have those conflicts in them. Every time I thought I had as much information as I could possibly get, I had hit that equilibrium between there was more. At every turn that I was in the technical side of what I do, there was always a curiosity to what Brett was doing over on the public policy side and what was happening on that legal legislative side that I just don't deal with in my day-to-day job. But it's just unlimited or infinite. There's just this wealth of knowledge out there that that in my journey you can never know it all. And but you can know that somewhere at UTC there's somebody who knows that answer. So yeah, just unlimited information.
Well, I tell you, I know you're not a one word answer person, but those two, you nailed it. I mean, unlimited, you're absolutely right, for all of us, and you can take that how you may. And Carnell, I have to agree. That journey, you know, his history, his knowledge, and willing to share it, just like you. I mean, when people are willing to share it, that's the real value proposition. You know, it's sitting on this gems, but also sharing with others. So I thank you for that. And that's another one, unlimited, absolutely. Well, Ron, it has been more than great catching up with you. Before we close, I just wanted to say, do you have anything else that you wanted to get out? Because I know you have more, but I mean, is there anything that's pressing that you really wanted to say before we close the episode?
No, I really appreciate the opportunity to chat. I look forward to another opportunity to chat with you and with the greater UTC family in Oklahoma City. Hopefully, I'll get to see some folks in Reno. We're still working with the travel restrictions here in Oregon and how the pandemic is dealing with that side of things. But, you know, if not, I'm available by phone, I'm available by email, and as I know all of us are, it's pretty easy to reach out and chat. So we're in the process of hiring our replacement. You know, that's kind of an interesting piece, but thank you again for the opportunity, and I look forward to our next coffee in UTC.
Oh, thank you, and I hope to see you at those locations as well. I hope to be in Reno and definitely Oklahoma City. But thank you again for meeting us at the intersection. Early congratulations on your 30-year anniversary. Thank you for your loyalty. And as I say all the time, you know, that's the two most important words in the English language. Thank you. And you definitely deserve that gratitude. We're so grateful for everything you've done, your participation with UTC. And we hope to see you. And I'm so glad that we had this opportunity. And we might have to have a part two, because I still know there's a ton more. But like Ron said, everybody can get in touch with him. And I really encourage people, if you're interested finding out more, even about the industry, you know, we talk about future career workforce, please reach out to us and we'll get you in touch with Ron, or try to get in touch with Ron. He's also on social media as well. Please, there's a wealth of information, and this is a great industry, as you can see from what he said and many others. Check out our other podcasts if you haven't. We have more coming. And thank you again, Ron. Be safe and be healthy. Thank you.
Thank you for meeting us at the intersection. For more information about the Utilities Technology Council, visit utc.org.